want to preach to you this morning for just a little while on the power of persistence. You say, what's that got to do with God, church, or anything else? I'm glad you asked. I'm fixing to tell you. The power of persistence. If you have your Bibles, turn with me this morning to the book of Matthew, the 7th chapter. I want to read the 7th and 8th verse as our text here today. And I've got some things to share with you that I think will be an enlightenment to your spirit, to your soul, to your spiritual man, that you might run this race with patience, that which is set before you, enduring those things that you come against, because they are not by accident, but God is preparing you. Hello? God's preparing you for something greater. How many of you ladies has ever went to make a cake or fix something in the kitchen and you realize that you was missing a prime ingredient? And how many of you guys ever went to build anything and realized that you didn't have the material you needed to finish? But without that dedication and consecration to God, that's and having that relationship with Him, that's like having the missing ingredient of a cake or not having any tuba forks to start your building. We got to have Jesus today more than ever before. And it's personal. It's personal. Your mama, your daddy, your husband, your wife ain't going to get you there. It's your relationship with Jesus Christ. And what's so awesome about that is He wants to put His arms all around about you and just love on you and let you know His mercy and His grace will pursue you, the Bible says. Amen. Matthew chapter 7, verse number 7. Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. What does that sound like? We got to be persistent. Verse 8, for everyone that asketh receiveth. Anybody in here Pentecost today? Yep. Well, help me preach, will you? For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and him to him that knocketh it shall be opened. Heavenly Father, open our ears, our hearts, our minds to receive what you have for us today. In Jesus' name we pray, and everyone said, Amen. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. This message is gooder and grits and greater and gravy. We ain't even got there yet. Throughout the Bible, it teaches us that persistence and endurance in prayer is vital. Though God is sovereign, how many knows God is sovereign? And He has all things under control. It is a priority for us to pray, just as the patriarchs of old prayed, along with the disciples and the apostles, because this is how God has chosen to work through the prayers of His people. God has a plan. God has a purpose. God is a God of order. If you don't believe me, look in Genesis. How that He created everything. If you don't believe me that He's a God of order, look how He told the priests in the Old Testament how to build the tabernacle, how to put the oil together, how to do all those things. He's a God of order. Listen, sometimes we fail to realize that God has chosen, even though God knows all things, He knows what we need before we ask, but He tells us to ask. And that is how He has chosen to work through His people, is by their prayers. Can I tell you that God is not a God that wastes time? I said, God's not a God that wastes time. Now, several of you said a while ago, He was Pentecost. God is not a God that wastes time. You believe that? And when He teaches those things throughout the Scriptures, it's not something that just is haphazardly, but it is necessary. God taught His disciples to pray, and He showed them what aspects was vital and what was needful. Can I tell you today, as I repeat again, He does not waste His time. He would not have given them this example In Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 and 10, after this manner, therefore pray ye, our Father which is in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as it is in heaven, as it is in earth. God did not waste his time. He gave his disciples this example. And it is not a mere extracurricular activity, but it is a relationship between you and God that brings about what God's plan and God's will is. And he tells us to ask, he tells us to seek, and he tells us to knock. Hello? It is not an extracurricular activity. Although God knows what we have need of, again, he tells us to ask. Hello. In all of God's providence, let me stop here for a minute. Are you all awaiting a long winter's nap before it gets here? Do you understand and realize? I've heard people, I pray God don't even hear. Yes, he does. And we know God knows all things, and he knows, again, what we have need of before we ask. But did you really stop and think to realize that God has a purpose for everything that he speaks about? And God's purpose in you praying is his plan of how to bring about miracles and promises that God has given us. Amen. He desires to have you engaged. Yes. Hello? Listen, did you hear what I said? God, as his creation, desires for you to be engaged with him. That's his desire. He wants you to be engaged with him. And if he never hears from you and you never read his word, you're not engaged. So he chooses to use prayer to communicate and to talk and to move. That's how he chooses to move in men, is through prayer. In all of God's providence, he has chosen men to be the representatives of the earth. Listen closely. This is absolutely phenomenal. He has chosen men to be the representative in all in the earth and on the earth. According to Genesis chapter 1, verse 28. Don't lose me here, okay? I'm still talking about the power of persistence. He has chosen men to represent in and on the earth. Genesis chapter 1, verse 28. He made man to rule over the earth. Genesis 2 and 15, he tells Adam to keep and cultivate the garden. How many remembers reading that? He told Adam to keep and cultivate the garden, which means to guard and protect it. Men, God has chosen you to guard and protect, as a high priest of your home, the things of God. And I'm fixing to get some good, to really good stuff here, so stay with me, okay? It means when he told Adam to guard, to cultivate the garden, he meant for him to guard it and protect it. With Adam and Eve being the only humans on the earth at that time in the garden, and he had already given them dominion over the animal kingdom, he also used man to keep things in order. And God was telling them that if earth would remain a paradise, it would be because God gave man a responsibility to manage it. You know why the world's in the shape it's in? We failed as miserably here as Adam did in the garden. Can I read that again? Man, that's good stuff. We have totally missed the perspective of what God desires for us in our life. Men and women alike, we have so perverted it and moved to our direction of our emotions and our feelings, and we've left God out of it. But God is using us, as he told Adam and Eve. He told them that they were to guard the garden and they were to protect it. And he used men, and he's still using men today, and we have failed miserably because God desires, as he has given us a responsibility, that if this earth remains a paradise, he has given us a responsibility and we must manage it, and we have failed miserably. We have not been persistent. God help us. And our group this weekend was such an enlightening time. Brother Jeremy gave us a great devotion. And we visited together and shared some ideas and things. And church, I believe that God's raising some men in this church that they're going to make a difference in our world, in our community, and where we're at today. I believe that God is challenging you and letting you know that if godliness comes back to this church, if godliness is, and I thank God for what He does in this church, but I'm talking about old time Pentecostal power, it comes back to this church, it's going to take some men guarding and protecting against the things that has come against the church in the world. I believe that God's given us some men that's going to step up to the plate, and in our community and in our state, they're going to take a stand and say, I dare to serve God with everything that's within me, no matter what it costs, because God has given me the guardianship of those things around about me. If paradise remains, it is because we have a responsibility to manage it and make it happen. So with that church, God works through humans as an agent to better or to worsen our lives and where we live. So with that, God through humans as an agent to better or worsen our world around about us. This is why prayer plays such a vital role in the betterment of things concerning the welfare of man. How many knows that God does hear and answer prayer? How many knows that God does not waste His time when He tells us to seek, when He tells us to knock, when He tells us to ask? It's because we are in His providence and He is using us, and we have a responsibility to manage and maintain the Spirit and the power of God under the name of Pentecost. Matthew chapter 18, verse 18 says, I tell you the truth, that whatsoever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Again, this is why prayer plays such a vital role and part in the betterment of concerning of the welfare of man, your family, your church, your community, and your neighborhood. Oh, somebody ought to be shouting right about now. God has given you a tool that's more valuable than any annuity or life savings that you could ever accumulate in the bank. He has given you a tool, men, that's more valuable than any tool you have in your toolbox. He has given you a tool, ladies, that is more important than anything that you have in your closet, because God has given you the responsibility and He is reaching out to you for a vital part of us to manage our world around about us. We've all heard that saying, when at first you don't succeed, try again. We live in a society where they try one time. If they try one time, they say, forget it, let someone else do it. I don't know, I may be here an hour this morning. But maybe they'll lock the front doors. Can I point you to some biblical examples of those who were persistent? Somebody say persistent. And endured through some of the tough times in their lives. Just know this. Just because we don't see things happening in our timeline does not mean that our prayers are going unnoticed. Did you hear me this morning, church? Did you hear me this morning, child of God? Just because things are not happening in your timeline does not mean that your prayers are going unnoticed. James chapter 5 verses 16 and 17 says, confess to one another therefore your faults. And the Amplified, it says, your slip-ups, your false steps, your offenses, your sin, and pray also for one another, and pray also for one another that you may be healed and you may be restored to a spiritual tone of mind and heart. Woo, glory. That we may be restored, that we may be touched, that in our spiritual realm, the earnest, heartfelt, continued prayer of a righteous man makes tremendous power available. And it is defined as a dynamic working inside of us. The earnest, heartfelt, continued, somebody say continued, prayers of a righteous man makes tremendous power available. It is the dynamics of God's Spirit working inside of you. We know it as we say it and memorize it. It is the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. It's God working inside of you as He commands you to pray, because this is God's will. In that same passage of Scripture, James grabs a hold in verse number 17 and he runs to the Old Testament for an example. And he says this, Elijah in verse 17, Elijah was a human being with a nature such as we have, with feelings, with affections, and with a constitution like ours. And he prayed earnestly for it not to rain. And no rain fell on the earth for 3 years and 6 months. Man, we went about 2 months without rain, and we thought we were shot. 3 years and 6 months. You find that in 1 Kings chapter 17, verse number 1. And in 1 Kings chapter 18, verse number 1, and it came to pass after many days that the word of the Lord came to Elijah in the 3rd year, saying, go show yourself to Ahab, and I will send rain upon the earth. It was the persistence of his prayer. You ever wonder why Elijah had prayed 7 times? Anybody ever wonder why it took 7 times for Elijah to pray to see a cloud the size of a man's hand? Nobody ever wondered that? Well, let me tell you this. We know, and we've heard, that 7 is a number of completions, right? And it's not that we are to pray 7 times and stop, but the idea is that we pray till the task is completed. Oh, look at your neighbor and grin real big. Say, I got to keep praying. I got to keep praying. The whole idea is that we pray till the task is completed. The logical reason for Elijah to need to pray at all is because God has chosen to work through the prayers of His people to get things accomplished. Don't give up. Don't stop. Don't waver in your faith. I know it's easy in our world that we're living in to get so sidetracked, to get so discouraged, to get so despondent that we get out of sorts with ourselves. We get out of sorts with everybody around us. We even get out of sorts with God. Can I tell you, when things seem to be the worst, it's not the time to stay home. But you need us and we need you. We need each other. I have seen it over and over again in the last 39 years of us pastoring. And I only look 23, but, you know, besides that. That when people become discouraged, they seem to have a tendency to stay home instead of coming to where God's power is. Can I encourage you today? Don't give up. But be persistent coming when you don't feel like it. Come when things aren't convenient. Come to the house of God, because this is where you receive your strength. Verse of the 18th chapter of 1 Kings, Elijah said to his servant, go up now, look toward the sea. And he went up and looked and said, there ain't nothing. That's Arkansas language. Interpretation, there ain't nothing. And he said, go again 7 times. And it came to pass at the seventh time, he said. Now, I don't know how you view that or look at that, but I believe that it wasn't after the first time he said, just go back and forth seven times. I believe every time he came to Elijah and he said, I don't see anything yet. Elijah said, well, I've been praying. You go back one more time. He came back the next time. I still don't see anything. Well, I've been praying. I want you to go one more time until that time was complete, till he seen a cloud the size of a man's hand. Hey, it don't take much for God. It don't take much for God. And it came to pass on the seventh time that he said, behold, there riseth a little cloud out of the sea like a man's hand. And he said, go up, saying to Ahab, prepare thy chariot and get thee down, that the rain stop thee not. Elijah would have prayed 14, 21, 36 times if it took it necessary. He prayed till it was completed. So I encourage you today, be persistent in your prayer. Don't become discouraged. You see, it's through persistence and relentlessness that endures through the power of prayer that God will and does move on the behalf of His people. You have not been forsaken and you have not been blocked from God. God hears your prayer. If God moved and answered listen, this is vitally important. Listen to me. We need to understand this and get a hold of this. If God moved and answered every time we prayed, every time we snapped our fingers, we would probably get pretty arrogant and smug on our demands that God get it done. Wouldn't you think? God wants to know if we're sincere. He wants to know if we're persistent. He wants to know if we really love Him and trust Him. Somebody say, I trust Him. I trust Him. Do you understand that the power of persistence brings about mighty things? You ever heard about the little bee, bumblebee, or honeybee? The bee, listen, the bee has been apt to describe as busy. You ever heard busy as a bee? To produce 1 pound, 1 pound of honey, the bee must visit 56,000 clover heads. Since each head has 60 flower tubes, a total of 3,360,000 visits are necessary to give us that pound of honey for our breakfast table. Would somebody, are you convinced that's persistent? How many likes honey? The rest of you, if you don't care for it, if you'll come to the front after I get through preaching, we'll pray for you that you'll get prayed through. I mean, the Bible talks about where a land where milk and honey flow. Hot butter biscuits in the morning.
Yes.
Glory, glory, glory. Hey, that is gooder and grits and greater gravy. And I'm not. Brother Russell made a pretty good pot of gravy and biscuits the other morning. Meanwhile, that worker bee has flown the equivalent of 3 times around the world.
Wow.
To produce 1 tablespoon of honey for your toast, that little bee makes 4,200 trips to the flower. He makes about 10 trips a day to the field, each trip lasting 20 minutes average and 400 flowers. A worker bee will fly as far as 8 miles if he cannot find the nectar flow that is nearer to him. Therefore, when you feel that persistence is a difficult task, just think about that little honeybee. Can I tell you that Daniel had that tenacity and he had that persistence? Daniel had been reading from the prophet Jeremiah and had numbered the days when revival and the release of God's people would come, because Israel had been in 70 years of captivity to the Babylonian king. And when Daniel heard the words, he did not wait to begin to pray. At one period of time, Daniel prayed and fasted 21 days with no response. 21 days with no response. But he was persistent. Daniel chapter 9, verses 3 and 4. And he set his face unto the Lord to seek by prayer and supplication. That means persistence. With fasting and sackcloth and ashes. That means persistence. And he said, and I prayed unto the Lord my God and made confession and said, O Lord, the great and the dreadful God, keep the covenant and mercy to them that love him and to them that keep his commandments. Are you still with me? So why did it take so long for Daniel's prayer to be answered? In verse number 3 of chapter 9, it would seem to me that Daniel had positioned himself to get an immediate response, but that immediate response did not come, or at least an overnight answer. That's how we look at it most of the time. But listen, church, this is why we must learn to be persistent. The enemy, the prince of Persia, was blocking the prayers from getting from heaven. And then there was a guy, I'm really familiar with this guy, and I really like his name, Michael. He came to the rescue because God sent him and dispatched him to Daniel's rescue. Listen, God will see you through. Ephesians chapter 6, verse number 12, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of darkness of this world, and against spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. But there is none that can contain the Spirit, the power, and the release of God's hand. None. 1 Peter encourages us in chapter 5, verse number 8, to be sober, to be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walketh about seeking who he may devour. I told you a while ago that God has given you the responsibility to take care of things in your arena, in your neighborhood, on your job, in your church. Then Daniel said, then Michael said to Daniel, fear not, Daniel, for the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand and to chasten thyself before God, or to be persistent before God, God heard you. And I am come with thy word. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 120 days. But lo, Michael, one of the chief priests, came to me, and I remained there with the king of Persia. He overcome, and we are overcomers by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. Jeremiah chapter 33, verse 3 tells us exactly what we need to do. He said, call upon me, and I will answer thee, and I will show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. If we're persistent. I want to read you just a real short story about a young man by the name of Brandon Hunt. Brandon lost his daddy that he was very close to and fond of at the age of 7. His mother had abandoned their family long before the death of his dad. But with his dad gone, Brandon and his siblings were without parents and were without a home. Relatives tried to pitch in. Put yourself in this place for just a moment. Relatives did their best to try to help, and an aunt eventually managed to take them in. And after a few years, Brandon moved in with his mom, hoping that he could mend the relationship. But at age 15, Brandon was left homeless. His mother threw him out with nowhere to go. A school friend took pity on him and gave him a place to sleep. Many would have made their place on the street, begging and getting what they could just to get through each day, but not Brandon. Despite his painful life and past, lonely, he persisted day after day. Brandon graduated with honors and was made captain of his football team. He would not give up. He wanted to make his father proud of him. He joined the United States Marine and found a skill in which he excelled in. And today his skill provides for him a job that he loves and an endless supply of friends. What an example in this short story of a young man. And I believe today we can look at that and say, Brandon is a hero, our hero. We know that his father would have been mighty proud of him not to give up, but persistence in the life that he had to put up with. He made the right choices. And he lived through a life of insurmountable challenges. Brandon did not give up. But he chose to rise above the obstacles despite everything that was against him. So I ask you today, are we willing to be that persistent regardless of the obstacles in our lives? Are we willing to be that persistent? One of my favorite stories in the Bible is found in the book of Genesis chapter 29. Are y'all still with me? All acts finishing. Glory. If Jacob loved Rachel so much that he would work for Laban a total of 14 years, even after Laban had pulled the dirty trick on him, I wonder how much tenacity do we have to be steady, persevere, and stick it out until it's complete, until the answer comes. I want you to know the story of Jacob is very inspiring. Can I tell you today that a baby doesn't give up every time it falls? When it's learning to walk, if it falls, it finds something to pull itself up on and tries again. They never stop trying to walk. They have the tenacity to keep trying as long as it takes. And it never occurs to them that they ain't going to make it. So with all the bruises and bumps, they push through with undying persistence to learn to walk. Jacob was willing to do whatever it takes to gain the love of his life. What's the love of your life? I said, what's the love of your life? The enemy is going to come and do his best to knock you off your feet, take away your faith, to tell you you ain't saved and you ain't even worthy of being saved. But what's it going to take to pursue the love of your life? And who should be the love of your life? Jesus. Jacob was willing to do whatever it took to gain the love of his life. And Laban said in verses 26 through 30 in Genesis 29, it must not be so done in our country to give the younger before the firstborn. Jacob had worked for Rachel for 7 years. That was the agreement. But Laban, his father-in-law, or would be his father-in-law, said, I can't give my baby until the firstborn is married. So he said, fulfill her week, and we will give thee this also for the service which thou shalt serve with me yet another 7 years. How many had already bailed? It ain't worth it. I'm out of here. I mean, Jacob's job wasn't an easy task. Taking care of the sheep, everything that his father-in-law needed him to do, he was there and had to take care of it. Hello? Somebody give me a wave. Make sure you're still awake. Okay. Thank you. It wasn't the easiest thing. And even though, I understand, even though Sister Diane and I last week just celebrated our 48th anniversary. And it just seems like yesterday. How many of y'all been married that long and it just seems like yesterday? Most of you ain't even been married that long. Brother and Sister Snow, they've got us beat. But that's what Jacob said. It just seemed like yesterday. Wasn't no time at all. Well, you know what? I understand that. But there's times that Sister Diane said it seems like it's been forever since she's had to put up with me. And don't you know it was so disheartening to Jacob when he woke up the next morning and found out it wasn't the love of his life. It was in his bedroom. Now the rest of that story is another message. But it is so such a awesome story of love and persistence that I love that woman so much that I'll work for her another 7 years and it won't seem like no time at all. I'll do it again, the persistence. And I believe if Laban had another daughter and he slipped her in somewhere, Jacob would have worked another 7 years. I'm just here to tell you today, church, that our love for Jesus Christ and our acquiring to reach heaven and make heaven our home, there shouldn't be anything that we wouldn't do for God. It should be a pleasure. I said it should be a pleasure to work for God. And Jacob did so and fulfilled her week, and he gave him Rachel and his daughter to wife also. And Laban gave to Rachel his daughter, but Bilhah and her handmaid, and I didn't pronounce her name right, so hopefully she'll forgive me. And he went in also to Rachel, and he loved Rachel more than Leah, and served with him yet 7 other years. Do you have the courage to be that persistent? No matter the adversity in your life. See, sometimes that makes a huge difference. Some of us face more adversity than others. But can I tell you, God's got a plan in mind for you. Will there be a determination for that adversity to make you better and not bitter? Will you have the determination to be persistent and not resist? God has a plan. And the things we go through to get there is to make you stronger and to prepare us for the challenge that He knows you're capable of, that you will reach the goal that He has set for you. Listen, He would not ask you to do something He did not know you could do and would not supply the material for you to do it. Ezekiel chapter 22, verse 30, Christian, can we come? Said, I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it, but I found none. God's looking for some men and women today that will be persistent, that will not bail. Hello? That will come and stand before Him and say, here I am, Lord. Send me. Use me. For the next 5 minutes, give me your undivided attention and listen closely. This is exactly where we need to be today. Resistance will come. Hello? I said resistance will come. Persecution will come. Trials will come. Offenses will come. But it should not deter your love for the love of your life. Are you ready? Here we go. Two frogs fell into a can of cream, or so I've heard it told. Two sides of the can were shiny and steep, and the cream was deep and cold. Oh, what's the use? Croaked number one. 'Tis fate, no help's around. Goodbye, my friend, goodbye to the world. And weeping still, he drowned. But number two, of the stiffer stuff, dog paddled in surprise. But while he wiped his creamy face and dried his creamy eyes, I'll swim a while at least, he said. Or so I've heard, he said. It really wouldn't help the world if one more frog was dead. An hour or two, he kicked and swam. Not once he stopped to mutter, but kicked and kicked and swam and kicked, then hopped out via butter. Would you stand with me all over the building today? Our life sometimes seems like an endless swim and an endless challenge. Seems like that we can never get our head above the water or the cream in this instant. I just come to tell you today that God will give you the stuff that you need to be persistent in your hour and in your time. Listen, I'll be the first to tell you that there's times our life stinks. But I can't imagine what it would be like if I didn't have a Savior to run to. But no matter how stinky it gets, we serve a God that will take you into His bosom and love you, clean you up, and give you the strength for the next task that lies ahead. Every head bowed and every eye closed.